The sermon title for today is "In He is Risen and Alive," and the scripture passage is taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 28, verse 1 through 10. We are very glad to have speaker Reverend Jack Thiever to be with us to share the word of God this morning. Shall I invite Sister Mary to read the scripture passage for today?
Good morning, church. Good morning. Today we are on Matthew 28, verses 1 to 10. Verse 1. Now after the Sabbath, towards the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen. As he said, come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and behold, he's going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you very much, Sister Mary, for that scripture reading. Thank you very much, choir and worship team. Good morning, everyone. Good morning, church. And a very welcome to all of you today as we celebrate Easter this Sunday morning. Welcome to all our guests here as well. My name is Leon. I'm the pastor here, if you don't know. Also, that don't want you to confuse me with Pastor Jack. But as we celebrate this Easter today, it's a very special occasion, of course. And of course, we also, it's really my privilege to welcome our special guest today to bring you the Word of God. Reverend Jack has been, he's actually been my pastor years ago before when we were right here in Guilin Building as well on the fourth floor. And 25 years ago, Reverend Jack was the one who baptized me, and today we are having a baptism as well. So, you know, that legacy of faith is continuing even today. And of course, Reverend Jack also has been like a spiritual father to myself and to Laureen as well for all these years. So I pray that you'll be blessed today by the word from our guest. I'd like to welcome Reverend Jack to deliver the word today.
Ah, it's wonderful to be back in Guilin. Walking through the streets, we have to, because I suddenly had a taste of what my members went through before. You know, I remember some of them used to tell me, "Pastor, I think we need to move out of here because getting a parking lot on Sunday was terrible." And you know, we have to go round and round and round. And I think finally after I left, they decided to move. I hope the place they went to was much better than Geylang. But anyway, God was very good, because I think when we were here, am I supposed to control or is someone controlling? I prefer someone to control, so I can just speak. Okay, great, thank you. Hallelujah, praise God. I've been in ministry for 50 over years. so If you want to know my age, ask me privately, you know. But it's no secret. I'm a grandfather of 7 grandchildren, so it's a joy actually to be here and to fellowship with you. Hallelujah. I think there was a pastor here by the name of Richard, if I'm not mistaken. The first pastor? Was he the first pastor? No. Second one. Yeah, I know. I knew all the pastors here. So I and the cows are still here. Brother Cow, the one who was running the shop, bookshop upstairs. The third level, I think. Level 3. Anyway, no, doesn't matter. Okay. But anyway, we are here because it is Easter. Today we celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this wonderful moment that we can be together. And Lord, we thank you for all these dear people who have come and they are excited because you are not in the grave. Hallelujah. Jesus, you are risen. Hallelujah. Praise God. And we pray, Father, that you move in a mighty way upon us. Speak into our lives, Lord, Holy Spirit. Lord, touch us. May we not be the same in the way we came here, but we go away, Lord, enriched and more excited for what you have done, O God. And I pray, Father, that we have an encounter with you this morning. Touch us and speak to us in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen and amen. I'm a little bit more intense, so if you are not used to it, just get used to it, okay? Now, the thing is this. Many consider this day the most holy, isn't it? And it's one of those Christian religious holidays that somehow even people who have not been to church for a long time feel they have to go. You know, it's Easter or Good Friday. They have to be there. But Easter is not just a tradition. All right? It is not just a holiday so that the government gives us free time and we can all go to church. But Sunday is always a holiday anyway. But it is actually a divine announcement. You know, and you see this picture, the divine announcement is Jesus is alive. Hallelujah. Jesus is alive. That's what Easter is all about. If Jesus is not alive, we have no Easter. Easter is not because of Easter eggs. You know, I see a lot of people send, you know, quotes and all that, and Easter egg is the main thing. But it's Jesus is risen. Jesus is risen. And I think that must be something that stamped upon our minds. You know, because many great men have lived and died, isn't it? We have kings, we have prophets, we have philosophers, and many religious leaders. They have come and gone, you know, and they have a grave. Their bones are found there. But the wonderful thing about Jesus is this. He died for all mankind and rose again from the dead, and he's alive forevermore. Hallelujah. And that is the difference. That's why I'm a Christian, because I came from a Hindu background. You know, and Hindus have a lot of gods. We worship anything. There are millions of gods. You know, somehow or other, we have the knack of turning something into a god. When I heard about Jesus and about his sacrifice, about what he has done, my whole mind was totally transformed. My life was transformed. Hallelujah. Praise God. And I believe, because for the simple reason, Jesus is alive. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, the truth of the resurrection is this. Now, we read it, right? Maybe you can switch. I don't know. You are following or you are not. Okay. Now, he obviously is not following. The scripture is already read. Go to the next one. It's another bunch of scripture. Okay, yeah. This is already done. So let's go to the next one. Truth of the resurrection. Sorry, I'm putting you on the spot. You can click it. Yeah, all right. Now, we just read Matthew 28, right? When the woman came early in the morning, and they came very early in the morning, they came with a broken heart, actually. You know, they came carrying spices to anoint a dead body, you know, because Jesus had died, isn't it? 2 days earlier. And they came on the third day and they wanted to anoint his body with spices. And they came to, of course, on the way, they were wondering, how are they going to remove the stones? Because only the women came. You know, shame us or on us who are men. Because sometimes when the rubber hits the road, we have found one thing, you know. Actually, it's a bit, you know, men, we need to kind of pick up ourselves. Because I look at this scripture and I found all the women were there. Where were the men in hiding? Hello? They were, doesn't speak well about us, is there? Men supposed to take the lead. And instead of it, the women here were taking the lead. I don't know whether there is a hidden message there or not, but I want to say, women, thank you very much for being so dedicated, so committed, and so full of fire, you know, for the Lord, especially for God. I think a lot of women are doing a lot for God, and I really encourage you to continue to do so. But you know, when they came there, all their worries were over, because why? The stone had been rolled away. The stone had been rolled away, and the tomb was empty, you know. It was an empty tomb, and they didn't know what to do. He's doing very good. Hallelujah. And, you know, the thing is, when they looked in, I mean, they were hoping to see something, because the stone had been rolled away, but is the body still there or not? But there was no one, except suddenly they saw glowing angels who declared to them, "He is not here. He is risen. Hey, what are you looking for? This is a tomb for the dead, but Jesus is risen. Look in the right place." You know what I mean? He's not here, he's risen. Now, if you have an encounter like that, I think all of us will be shivering, you know. And I'm sure the women were all really wobbly at that time, looking at these two angels there. And they were really glowing, you know, they were glowing. But the message came to them. But suddenly, you know, these guys who were so shocked or full of sorrow, suddenly were so full of shock, actually, you know. Their sorrow turned into shock, and their confusion turned into conviction, because they were all confused about, suddenly they realized, hey, Jesus is alive. He's not in the tomb, you know. And some things begin, because Jesus spoke a lot of things to them, and a lot of things he told them just before he went to be crucified, you know. But they have forgotten. I think they were so taken up by the whole process of what happened to him. They were all clouded. I mean, it happens to all of us, isn't it? You know, sometimes we have major issues that hit us and it clouds our mind, and we don't remember the main issue, and some side issue becomes the main issue in our mind. And I can see how they were going through this. But suddenly things begin to fall into place, and they begin to realize that Jesus is risen, probably. You know, he's not here. So they came in sorrow to embalm the body of Jesus, but suddenly left afraid, but yet full of joy. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, it's like a paradox, isn't it? You're afraid, but full of joy. They were afraid of the Roman authorities because they killed Jesus, and they are followers of Jesus. They could be killed, you know. But they're full of joy because now Jesus is no more dead. Maybe he's risen, you know, but they're still not so sure. Huh? But the angels had already said that he is risen, isn't it? That's good enough for me. I don't know about you, but if I have an angelic visitation and he tells me that Jesus is risen, wow, I'm totally sold out. Really sold out. No more if, ands, or buts in my head. And that's the way it should be, isn't it? The message that Jesus is risen, message of Easter, is crystal clear. Crystal clear for, and it must be crystal clear for us. You and I are Christians. We are believers because he's risen. If he's still dead in the grave, I as a Hindu will not be a Christian because he would be like all the others, isn't it? But because he's alive, he's risen, I am a believer. Hallelujah. I'm a believer. Praise God. And you know, as they were just pondering, they were still around the tomb area, you know, and all these women, I'm sure women talked a lot. I mean, sorry, pardon me. talked to each other a lot. Something major like this happened, and they were kind of talking to each other. And the Bible says, suddenly, Jesus appeared. Jesus appeared. Of course, I know in some translations it says Jesus appeared to Mary, but you look at the next PowerPoint. Hello? All right. He appeared to Mary. And the wonderful thing is when he appeared, they fell at his feet and worshipped him. You know? They worshipped him. I think when we encounter Jesus, this idea of worship needs to rise. You know, we fall at his feet and we worship him. Now, some of us cannot bend down already on our knees, but we can still worship, you know. I'm one of those. My knees I've knelt down many times before, and my son bought me some kind of plastic thing to even hold my knees. But nowadays, I sit down. But I can still lift up my hands and I can still worship God. Hallelujah. And that's what happened to these women. They were so taken up by the presence of the Lord Jesus. And you know, every time you come to the house of God, you don't have to be here to feel the presence of God. But you can be anywhere, at home, under a tree, you know. If you like to sit under a tree, you can be in the park, you can be, you know, walking on East Coast Road, but you can sense the presence of God. You know what I mean? And God wants to, he wants to meet us. Hallelujah. We can have God encounters every day, and when his presence is there, you can worship him. Hallelujah. Praise God. You can fall at his feet, even if you're not doing it literally, but you can raise up your hands, you can worship him and glorify him. So they heard him. But you know what did he say to them? He said, do not be afraid. I think that is really a comforting thought. Do not be afraid. Now, Jesus looks beyond what you are going through, and he sees the inside of you. You know, he just doesn't look at the exterior. And sometimes exterior, we can be laughing, we can be joking, we can be telling all kinds of stories and all that, but Jesus looks inside of you. And he saw the worry inside of them, and he said to them, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid, all right? He knew the fear that they were going through, you know, and it's an assurance that came to each one of them. And today, I don't know what you are afraid of. Maybe you are looking at the world and you're saying, wow, oil crisis, you know, petrol price is going up. I hope our hawker food don't go up. And it's starting to go up already, you know. And you go to a supermarket and you worry about prices going up and so forth. What is going to happen? But I want you to know Jesus comes to you and says, don't be afraid. Hallelujah. Amen. We trust in God. Convert your fear into prayer. Hallelujah. So that you trust him. Every day you convert your prayer, convert your fear into prayer. And I tell you, you will see wonderful things happen. If somebody is sick and you're worried about the person, don't allow that worry to take hold of you. Convert it into prayer. And everything, even for generation, you worry about how your grandchildren will turn up, you know, or your children, how they're going to grow, how they're going to study, whether they get a good job or not, and so forth. Sometimes women talk to each other. A lot of women are very complicated. I used to tell my wife, I say, we men, we think in boxes. You know, when we talk about one issue, I'm thinking about it, and she goes and talk about something else already, and then something else, and then it's not related, you know. So we need to know our difference. I think men, we are quite focused. If we are talking about this, we are just focused about it. Then, you know, I think Jesus knows that. So when we try and focus on something, just try and focus on that and just pray and say, God, you are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I can ask of or imagine, you know. God can do wonderful things. And he was giving that assurance to them. And it's wonderful. And that assurance comes to us also. Amen. Praise God. Now, so we have Jesus. He's not a theory. Jesus is not a theory. He's not a religion. All right? But he's a living Savior who meets us at the point of our need. Wow. Is that wonderful or not? So we need to come to him today and say, what is your need today? And you come to him, present it to him, you know? And he's going to bring comfort. He's going to have answers for you. And sometimes we don't know what is going to happen. We don't know the future. We don't know how things are going to play out. But I tell you, Jesus has the answers for each one of us. We pray until we have breakthroughs. Hallelujah. Keep praying until you have breakthroughs. And God is a wonderful God. Hallelujah. And he will do great things for us. Now, after the resurrection, Jesus appeared to many disciples. You know, 1 Corinthians 15:6, Paul says, after that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time. Wow. Now, Jesus was going out. You thought after his crucifixion, he would keep quiet. No. He rose again, and he was on the move. Hallelujah. There was work for him to do, you know. Praise God. Now, he made many appearances over 40 days. The next slide. you know, he had, Acts 1:3 says, and his suffering, after his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. That was the purpose. He spoke about the kingdom of God again to them. All the people that he met, more than 500, I know he said more than 500, could have been 550, could have been 1,000, could have been 2,000, I don't know, but he said he met a lot of them, you know? And so I think sometimes we are wondering, why did Jesus have to meet so many people, you know? Why so many appearances? Let me give you a few points. Number one, he wanted to prove he was truly, he wanted them to know that he was truly alive. You know, the disciples need to know. So that contact will, well, you know, like when he met the disciples, he said, Thomas, put your hand, you know, in my palms, you know, or on my side, you know, so that you know you were doubting, you know. That's why he was called Doubting Thomas. I hope there are no Thomases here, you know, but and somehow in India, they love the name Thomas. I'm glad my mother didn't name me Thomas, you know? So I'll be just one of them, the doubters, you know. But secondly, it was to contain discouragement. People were discouraged, right? You look at the disciples, they were in hiding. All the guys, all the macho guys, Peter and John and all the whole lot of them, they were all in hiding. The women were out in the open, the men were hiding. That's the level of discouragement they were in. And Jesus wanted to abolish fear from them because fear is paralyzing. That the reason why they were locked up, you know, is because they were fearful. And there are many things we are fearful about in life, isn't it? Now, my wife and I often talk about it. We are at a level, at an age where we talk openly about the next phase of our life, you know? And recently we met somebody for lunch. Seven of us gathered together for lunch during Chinese New Year. And it was a Wednesday. We had nice Peranakan food, you know. And then suddenly we heard on Saturday he collapsed. This person who was with us, he collapsed and he died. And he was only 74 years old. And two of us are older, and we say, wow, it has reached our level already, the calling back. And we need to be ready, isn't it? Because we don't know when we will be called back. And we also visited some relatives during the holidays. And this relative was saying, I was talking about this person who suddenly passed away, although we were just having a meal together. Fortunately, the person who passed away was a pastor, all right? And a very fit-looking pastor. He was pencil-thin compared to me, actually, you know? And suddenly he was gone, and they said he had an aneurysm in his heart, and that took him away, you know, which is a bubble in the heart, and it bursts. But the thing is this, when I met this relative, she was telling me, she's a school teacher, and she was telling me, she said, Uncle, I just lost three friends. All three of them are in their 40s and 50s. Three of them. That shows that life is very unpredictable, isn't it? And when you hear of this kind of news, you sometimes become very fearful. But for us who are saved, we need not be fearful. Amen? And we need to allow Jesus to abolish that fear from our heart so that we are ready and prepared to meet him anytime, 24/7. Hallelujah. Praise God. When we are ready, you are not afraid. But if you are not ready, you better be afraid because you don't know where you are going. Okay? We don't know where we are going because it can happen just like that, you know? So he came to abolish fear. Thirdly, he came to remove all doubts and rumors, you know. I mean, there were all kinds of rumors floating around that some of them were hallucinating, and that's why they saw Jesus and all that, and they had doubts in their minds and all that. And you know, that's why Jesus met the two men on the road to Emmaus, right? You know, These were all pictures of what was going to happen, and he met them. And lastly, I think to prepare the disciples to preach the gospel. Hallelujah. Praise God. He knew that he needed preachers. He was honing the skills of the 12, but one betrayed him, so left 11, you know. And he needed more, basically. So that's why he extended, you know, to reach out to more than 500 so that these people can become preachers of the gospel. And by extension, today, you and I are preachers of the gospel. Hallelujah. We are not here just to sit. If all of us know the gospel so well, we have heard about the teachings of Jesus for many, many years. Go and preach the gospel. That's the command that he gave us. Go and preach the gospel. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, today, with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, the disciples went from, you know, of course, it was not just the resurrection. The resurrection was very powerful, isn't it? Yeah. But after that, he said, tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. So they waited, and they were endued with power. The Holy Spirit came on them, and together with the renewed zeal, where they have met the risen Christ, you know, they went out, and instead of hiding, they went out preaching. Hallelujah. Instead of fear, there was boldness. Instead of doubt, there was great conviction. Hallelujah. Praise God. And they went out to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I pray that same fervor will happen to us, that today you will not be in hiding in Kuilin and be happy or in your home, but be bold and go out to wherever God will call you and go and preach the gospel. You know, to your neighbors, to your friends, to your relatives, and make sure it is backed up by prayer, because it is God that does the saving. It's not you. Sometimes we get very frustrated. We talk. Those of you good for talking, you will talk a lot. And it is not your talking that saves people. Please bear that in mind. You don't. You are only to plant the seeds. You plant the seeds. He does the saving. So that's why you need to back it up with prayer. Pray a lot. Pray a lot. Because when you pray, God works miracles. Hallelujah. Praise God. He removes doubts. He removes fears. And he gives us boldness. Hallelujah. And great conviction. Praise God. The resurrection matters to all of us. The next slide. The resurrection matters to all of us. This is where the resurrection becomes very personal, all right? It is personal, isn't it? It's just not about the disciples then, but it comes personal to us. Number one, I think it proves that our God is alive and reachable. Hallelujah. Amen. Because he's alive, he is reachable. You know, he is not far away from any of us. Jesus said in Revelation 1:18, I was dead and now I'm alive forevermore. Hallelujah. I was dead, but now I'm alive forevermore. I think that's very exciting. So in your heart and mind, you need to realize when you pray, you're not praying to emptiness. Sometimes it seems like we pray, who is hearing? You are praying to a God who is alive. He hears you. Even you pray in a whisper, he hears you. You know, you're not calling into silence, you know, especially in the night when you are in trouble. You are calling out, whether physically you feel discomfort or you have a nightmare or you whatever you go through, even in that silence, when you call out, he hears you. Hallelujah. And he will respond to you. You are not calling on anybody but a living God who hears you, and he can be energized. He will reach out to you, and he will minister to you. Hallelujah. He'll bring comfort. He'll bring strength. He will touch you. Hallelujah. And he only knows best how to do it. Praise God. Number two, resurrection proves Jesus is who he claimed to be. You know? What did he claim to be? He claimed to be the Son of God, isn't it? Right? So resurrection is heaven declaring that Jesus is the Son of God. Hallelujah. Do you realize then? God could not leave him in the grave. Although what you read in the scriptures, you find that on the cross, the Father turned away from him, right? Why? Because he was carrying the sin of the whole world. And actually, he looked very grotesque. And with all the sin of the world upon him, past and present and future, he was carrying all of it. The Father had to turn away from him. But God, he is God in the flesh. Do you know? He turned away because of sin. But Jesus could not be left in the grave. Amen. So the resurrection was the time where God was declaring, this is my beloved Son. You know, and he's not just a teacher. He's not just a prophet. You know, he is Lord and he is God. Hallelujah. Didn't he say in John chapter 10, verse 30, he said, I and my Father are one. Do you understand what he was saying? I and my Father are one. That means he is God in the flesh. He was walking on this earth. God walking on earth as Jesus. That's what he was trying to tell us. And so he has risen and he is Lord. And he is God. Hallelujah. And we need to be really excited that we serve the true and living God. Hallelujah. Resurrection also proves his message is true. Jesus said, according to the prophets, he would rise, and he did. In Luke 18:33, he said this, they will flog him and kill him. On the third day, he will rise again. Hallelujah. That's in scripture. You know, the prophets said that, and he quoted that, and he said, he will rise again, and he did. Hallelujah. This means that heaven is real, judgment is real, salvation is real, and he gave his life for you and I. Hallelujah. Praise God. This is not a game that we are looking at. It's eternity, all right? Why? John 3:16 tells us this. It's a familiar verse that all of us should be able to memorize, isn't it? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. You see that? He gave us his one and only Son, that if we believe on him, we should not perish, but have eternal life. So actually, because Jesus is alive, we will have eternal life. If he did not rise from the dead, you and I have no hope of eternity. Do you know that? Because he didn't rise. He didn't go to heaven, you know. But today, because he's alive and he rose again, you and I have hope of eternity. So this promise in John 3:16 becomes very, very real because Jesus has risen from the dead. Hallelujah. Number four, resurrection guarantees forgiveness is available. It guarantees. Without the death and resurrection of Jesus, there's no forgiveness. There's no salvation. There's no hope. But because he lives, your sins can be forgiven today. Hallelujah. Praise God. So no matter how far you have gone, some of us in life, we're looking at life as a whole. Sometimes we have had very good moments in our life. Sometimes we had very poor spiritual life. You know, we walk with God consistently over a period of time, then sometimes we slack, you know, and we compromise or we do certain things that are not pleasing in the eyes of God, and then we can pick up again. But no matter how far you have gone, or how deep the sin, or how broken your life is today, I want you to know you can be forgiven. You can be forgiven. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. If you are prepared to pick up your life again and say, I'm going to walk in the Spirit, I'm not going to live in the flesh, you know, and give in to all my fleshly desires, and I'm now going to walk with God, there can be victory, hallelujah, because we serve a Jesus who is alive, hallelujah, praise God. Lastly, resurrection gives hope beyond the grave. Death is not the end, it's the beginning, actually, because Jesus rose again. You and I will rise again and have eternal life. We will rise. And we look forward to that. Even if Jesus comes again earlier, we will go up. He says, you know, we who are alive are going to be caught up in the air first, right? And then those who are dead will also rise up. So he did not leave anybody out. So whether you're dead or alive, you are going to rise up when he comes again. And that can be any time. Maybe you look around the world with all the wars that are going on. It's a real headache, actually. Every now and then you hear of some rumor of wars in the... Please pay attention to what happens around Israel. The Middle East is the place where the message is. You know, it's not about America. It's not about Japan. It's not about Korea or... It's Israel. Watch Israel and see what is happening around Israel. Okay? Because all the prophecies in the Bible is regarding the nation that's going to rise up again. And Israel has risen up today. Can you imagine how powerful it is today? It's a military nation. It's an economic power also in the Middle East. And a lot of things are happening. I want to digress and talk about other things. But we'll talk about the power of the resurrection. Hallelujah. Next slide, please. The power of the resurrection. The resurrection is not just something to believe. It is something to experience. Hallelujah. Amen. So the power of the resurrection breaks the power of sin. And this is something that we have to know. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone and the new is here. 2 Corinthians 5:17. I like the King James Version, actually. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature and old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I'm so used to it, it's ingrained right here. But it's the same thing. The thing is, you do not just have to turn a new leaf. It is not about turning into a new leaf. You receive a new life. When you encounter Christ, he gives you a new life. You know, what happens is when you encounter him, it's like a man who was in prison. And he was in a cell. And, you know, and somebody came and paid his debts and told him that, well, prison doors are open. You are free to walk out, you know? But he still sat in the prison saying that, I don't feel free. Or I don't believe that I'm free. I don't feel free or I don't believe that I'm free. And he still sat in prison. Now, if we have that kind of mindset, we will forever be in bondage. We don't want to be free, even when somebody paid the debt. And Jesus has paid the debt for us. Hallelujah. Through his death and resurrection, he paid the debt that so that we can be set free. You know, the problem is not the prison. It is his refusal to believe and to walk out. That takes faith, isn't it? We believe and we walk out. We have faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise God. Many people today are like that, you know. And we need to realize that Jesus can break the chains that bind us, you know? And we don't have to be sitting in sin and in bondage, but we can be totally liberated by the power of God, by his resurrection power, and by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? We can be set free. Secondly, the power of the resurrection removes fear and gives boldness. Hallelujah. The disciples were in hiding. But after the resurrection and Pentecost, they were different people. Hallelujah. Why? Peter stood up among the masses and he began to preach the gospel. And guess what? 3,000 souls were saved. 3,000 souls. His first sermon, the guy who just 3 days ago was saying that he did not know Jesus. He cursed and swore that he did not know Jesus, you know. But then suddenly, you know, after Pentecost, suddenly something broke. And he stood up among everybody and he preached. He preached boldly and 3,000 people were saved. And that is the transformation God wants to do in each one of our lives. All right? He wants to break the stronghold of sin and bondage in our life, to liberate us and set us free so that we can become his instrument. Hallelujah. You can see that, you know, left to each individual, we think that, you know, we will just do our own thing. But when we are place ourselves in the hand of God, he will mold us and he will shape us and turn us to become the man and the woman that he wants us to be. And that's going to be wonderful. Hallelujah. Praise God. you know, you find that when Jesus comes into our life, fear will loosen its grip. You know, we will no more be fearful people. And a holy boldness is going to come upon us. Hallelujah. And I tell you, that will be wonderful. You just allow the presence and power of God to just come upon you, and he will use you, and that's going to be a great transformation. Thank you, Lord. Now, in my life, I've seen many people delivered. I've met converted drug addicts. So one time, right here, we used to adopt Teen Challenge. And a lot of drug addicts, maybe if you were here, you wouldn't know, but there were many converted drug addicts who came to our church. And I was on the board of directors for Teen Challenge. And we used to visit them. And we have seen so many lives transform, you know? And I even married one of them, got married to one of my leaders in my church, and I performed the wedding. Today they have two beautiful grown-up children, and I've seen that transformation. Now, I've seen God do wonderful things to ex-prisoners. You know, one of the guys who was on death row and God spared him was Reverend Neville Tan. Have you heard of Neville Tan? Neville Tan, I worked with him in Church of God for a couple of years. And he was a gangster. He was in a gang fight and somebody was murdered. So actually, he was supposed to be in death row. But somehow God delivered him, you know. And from that time, he changed. God transformed him and he became a preacher instead. Hallelujah. I knew of a couple of other gangsters who in the church that I grew up in. One of them was known as Reverend Jameson Yeo. He became a pastor. And today he's still an evangelist at large. He's a teacher. He's got his doctorate, mind you, from a gangster to having a doctorate and preaching the gospel and traveling around the world. The Reverend Robert Lim, who was also a gangster, you know, But, you know, God has changed these people, totally transformed their lives. You know, not that they become perfect people, but from what they were doing, God transformed them. They had low education, they had low aspirations as gangsters, but God took them in. And today, I mean, in their later years, you can see that journey they took and how God has molded them and transformed them. And that's the same thing God can do for us. No? That wonderful power, hallelujah, is available to each one of us. So this is not talking about self-help, you must go and help yourself. But what I'm talking about is this is resurrection power and the power of the Holy Spirit to do a great work within each one of our lives. Hallelujah. And that is going to be very transformational. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm really excited about it because I see what God can do. So I want to conclude with this. Jesus is alive. Oh, no, no. Back. Yeah, just that. Just that. All right. Because Jesus is alive, you are not trapped in your painful past. We all have a painful past. We can either feed that painful past and say, that's what I'm like, this is my life, this is my lot, and I'm just going to stay where I am and be defeated. I want you to know you are not defeated by sin. None of us are defeated by sin, all right? You are not without hope. We are people full of hope because why? Jesus has given us that hope. And today he's alive, hallelujah. He's walking with us and daily he will walk with you and he will lead you, he will guide you. And there is now power for a new beginning starting today, hallelujah. It's a new beginning for all of us. Amen. Hallelujah. And we can trust God and say, God, I'm ready. I'm ready to walk with you. Hallelujah. I pray that the Holy Spirit will speak to you. I want you to bow your heads this moment. Just look to the Lord in prayer for a while. Hallelujah. Praise God. Just take time for the Holy Spirit to speak to you. All right, don't look around, but focus on what God is saying to you and how he's dealing with you. I just want you to know that Jesus is alive. He's alive forevermore. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. He sees you. He knows your life. He knows your struggles. He knows the sin that you have indulged in, all that you have done. He knows your pain. He knows your emptiness. And he's calling you today. He's calling you. There's a purpose for you being here this morning. So if you are far from God, at this moment, and or you are carrying sins and bondages in your life, you feel empty inside, searching for meaning in life, I want you to know this is your moment. The tomb is empty, but your life doesn't have to be empty. You can be full of purpose, full of the presence of Jesus, full of victory, full of God's purpose in your life. So I want to call you today. Will you turn away from your sin? Will you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Will you receive him as your Savior today? If you have never made a commitment to Jesus, and this morning you realize that there is emptiness in my life, or there is sin, there is bondage and I want to be set free. I want to encourage you. Everybody's eyes closed. Don't look around. Would you just raise your hand? Left hand or right hand, whatever. Just raise your hand and say, I want to welcome Jesus into my life. Yeah, I see the hand. I see that hand. Yes. Anybody else? No one is looking. I see that hand. Yes. Hallelujah. Anybody? It is between you and God. It's nothing to do with me, you know. I'm just the facilitator, and I'm here to enable you to come to Jesus because he is the living Savior. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Would you raise your hand? Yes, I see that hand. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I just want to invite maybe all of us to stand together to also help those who have raised their hands. I want us to pray this prayer all together. Can we do that? Yeah? Even if you have prayed many times over this salvation prayer, simple prayer, but I want you to mean it from the depth of your heart, because this, you are building a relationship with Jesus. And I want you to pray this prayer. Let's pray together. I say 1, 2, 3, we pray together. 1, 2, 3. Lord Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for me. And on the third day, you rose again from the dead. Forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Come into my life and make me a new person. I welcome you, Jesus, into my life. Be my Lord and Savior. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for my brothers and sisters. I thank you for each one who has made this commitment to want to follow you as Lord and Savior. I pray, O Father, that you help them every day, O God, in their struggles. Lord God, we know that many times the sins that we encounter are many, and the bondages are quite strong. But Lord, today I pray in the name of Jesus that you break every stronghold in our life, in the name of Jesus. Break every sin that holds us down, whether it's in our mind or in our life in any way. Father, I pray you liberate us in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Hallelujah. We proclaim victory, victory over sin and unrighteousness. And we want to enjoy that resurrection life, oh God. Hallelujah. And to have hope of eternal life in Jesus Christ. Bless your people, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise God.